C1G.
Number 20B.
Now we come to the last stone of truth as love, which is quite terrific. What did we have in truth as love in the first record of creation? It was there that the text said that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So he beheld everything as very good. Naturally, the very opposite should be the very evil. The very evil. And actually, we find here the sevenfold evil to depict mortal manhood. How does the Bible bring it out? It says, "And the Lord Jehovah said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord Jehovah set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." Can you see? It is taken sevenfold vengeance. For what? For the attempt of error to destroy error. It is therefore a wonderful symbol which says, don't try to destroy error, or you will be punished sevenfold. If you try to destroy error, you make a reality of error, and you are not good enough to know what is error anyway. So we should remember what Mrs. Eddy says here: they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. That's taking vengeance sevenfold. So actually, that the attempt really to kill evil is desolation. We think it is right that we do it. We think, yes, we should destroy error. Not the Bible, not Mrs. Eddy. Not at all. She always feels that to let truth uncover and destroy error in God's own way. And this is a very different proposition. We cannot play God. You see, just before there was that temptation that Adam said they want to be God, knowing good and evil, and therefore judging according to their concept of good and evil. And it was shown that that is a counterfeit, really, of the signs of life. And now it comes to the climax where it says, so let truth uncover error, but not let us destroy error. How can we know what is in God's plan? How can we decide what is right and wrong? Jesus would have said that we should not judge. Or Mrs. Eddy says, even it is even error to murmur, what did she say? It is error even to murmur or to be angry over sin. Even that is false. Even that brings vengeance. We really should be at that point of inner peace where we know it is truth's job to destroy error and to establish that truth which truth wants to establish. It is the activity of truth to overturn and overturn and overturn until it comes whose right it is. It's not our job. Our job is to stand at the point of truth, of the consciousness of truth, and let truth do the work, and not to interfere personally with our concept of justice. Just remember that self-justification and human righteousness are like filthy rugs. And Mrs. Eddy puts these qualities into the first degree of mortal mind. So why culture those things too much? Here it is shown that if we really try to be the judge of the world, vengeance shall be upon us sevenfold. you get the tone of love, the sevenfold, or the desolation of it. It says that sin will receive its full penalty. It lies in the nature of error that it destroys anyway itself, and naturally destroys itself much quicker and much more harmoniously without a lot of chemicalization when we don't constantly interfere with our human mentality and our human judgment, but let error destroy itself. So this is a real wonderful subject here. Let's take quickly the epitomes that we have on truth in our study material. And now that we know how really epitomes are built up, we should be able to read them more intelligently. The main epitome of truth is that mortal manhood carries within itself the elements of its self-destruction. Can you see it's all about ideas of truth here? Mortal manhood, the opposite, the counterfeit of the true man, the man of truth. And self-destruction is an idea of truth, that truth knows that error destroys itself. But how does that come about? And it comes about in an ordered way. Here we have first, and you can see that every epitome has a tone of consciousness within itself, because truth is consciousness. Now here in the negative, it is naturally a wrong sense of consciousness. So in mind, we have a material consciousness. And see that that material consciousness, which is the opposite of truth, is an evil mind, devoid of the divine mind. Can you see truth as mind? Material consciousness, truth, evil mind, mind. We come to truth as spirit. Spirit is the carnal mind, the fleshly mind. And you see at once a combination of consciousness with spirit, the carnal mind. What is that carnal mind? You get a further tone of spirit, is enmity against the spiritual idea. Enmity has to do with the opposite of spirit, and brings forth is the birth of spirit in sorrow. So you have a great sense of truth as spirit in a counterfeit sense. Truth as soul, in a counterfeit sense, we have then corporeal consciousness. Corporeal is the opposite of soul. So you have consciousness that is corporeal, that is relying on the corporeal senses. So corporeal consciousness is what? With its sorrow and cheats. Can you see the opposite of soul, that is sinless, that is painless, with sorrows and cheats, returned to dust, to nothingness. Then it was shown as truth as principle, that truth as principle uncovers what? A personal mortal consciousness. You have personal as the opposite of principle. So the fact about truth as principle is that it uncovers a personal mortal consciousness, which does what? Which excludes us from harmony. It was chastened out of Eden. Truth as life. You have mortal consciousness. You have that consciousness which is the opposite of life, namely a mortal consciousness. What does a mortal consciousness do as life? It creates a mortal mankind, not an immortal mankind. So you have there the tone of life in its counterfeit sense as mortal. Truth as truth, we find here erroneous consciousness. Can you see its consciousness, truth as truth, which is erroneous, the counterfeit of truth? So you have truth as truth here, erroneous consciousness. And what does erroneous consciousness do as a tone of truth? It disrupts brotherhood and brings condemnation. Instead of bring really brotherhood, the unity of men, brings the very opposite. Truth as love, what kind of consciousness do we have there? The opposite of the perfection of love is imperfection. So it is an imperfect consciousness receives the penalty of self-destruction, the sevenfold vengeance. We have here penalty, this is really the counterfeit of love, because love itself never penalizes anything, nor does love know a law of penalty. So in this way you can read through these epitomes and you get the whole story in a few sentences, in a few epitomes, a short hand description of that long story. And naturally, if you pour over it, you see, you begin to see the flow of it. First of all, you see the flow of consciousness. What the truth is, true consciousness, is divine consciousness, God's consciousness of itself. What does that consciousness uncover as wrong? And so it uncovers seven facets of consciousness to be wrong, namely, first from the point of view of mind, a material consciousness, from the point of view of spirit, a carnal or fleshly consciousness, from the point of view of soul, a corporeal consciousness, from the point of view of principle, it then covers a personal consciousness, I shall be like God's, from the point of view of life, it uncovers that consciousness is mortal consciousness. From the point of view of truth, it is erroneous consciousness. And from the point of view of love, it is imperfect consciousness. It's as simple as that. Well, that brings us to the seventh stage in the false record of creation, namely to the counterfeit of love. And in order to know what that will have to bring out, well, what does the seventh day of creation bring out? The seventh day of creation shows that love fulfills everything, that love is the fulfillment of the whole creation. It is perfect creation. Well, what is the opposite of fulfillment? Well, the opposite, naturally, is the very opposite of fulfillment, is that nothing happens, that everything goes back into nothingness. It's nihilistic, it goes back into nothing, into oblivion. And so this last tone, that last step, really shows how this erroneous, imperfect consciousness is the basis for its own oblivion, for its own annihilation. How does the Bible show that? Again, we have here only two subtones. Love as truth, just as in the first record of creation, where at that point the first record of creation was showing really that it says, thus the heaven and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them, and we got the terrific sense that everything is finished. And the text that she was giving to it was had the marginal heading, infinity measureless. Because we ask ourselves, how can we measure infinity? And she said, we cannot fathom infinity except through the Christ consciousness. Only if we come to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, we can really get hold of infinity. So that was that tone there. And here, the very opposite is to show that that whole material creation, the false creation, really falls into complete oblivion. How does she say that? Or the Bible says, and Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. Can you see how this is bringing out very clearly the counterfeit of fulfillment? A minute ago, when I tried to find the counterfeit of fulfillment, I had difficulty in finding a term. The Bible does that very easily. It just says in the symbolism that Cain went out of the presence of the Lord, which is the exact opposite of what love always brings forth, that in love, man, God and man are coexistent, co-eternal. They are not apart and have no connection, no unity, no relationship with each other as here. Mrs. Eddy says, interprets it and says, a misconception having no truth to support it. See, that was the whole record of, second record of creation, no truth to support it. What does such a creation finally achieve? It falls back upon itself. It really returns back into nothingness. She says, error, after reaching its climax in suffering, as we added in the tone of truth, with Abel and Cain killing each other and so on, and the vengeance of sevenfold vengeance, so error, after reaching its climax in suffering, yields to truth and returns to dust, or is no more seen in the presence of the Lord. She says here that the image of spirit cannot be effaced. She always has to bring in some kind of a positive statement so as to tell the reader, don't give up hope, don't be overwhelmed by the second record of creation. There is still the first record of creation as reality. So the image of spirit cannot be effaced, since it is the idea of truth and changes not, but becomes more beautiful, beautifully apparent at error's demise. Do you say demise? Yes, at error's demise. Can you see the beauty? Really that point which she said right at the beginning of the chapter, that she said, if you understand truth, then we see more clearly, if you understand the nature of error, then we see more clearly what truth is. Because then when we see the nothingness of it and why it is nothing, we understand much more why truth is truth and why truth is positive. So as really error dies out, goes out from the presence of the Lord, she says, then really the true record of creation, the image of spirit, becomes more beautifully apparent. Again, an indication that the study of the second record of creation is a very positive thing, that we should not shun studying it and investigating how error works and what is the history of error and how error builds itself up and up and up and up until it reaches its climax in suffering and then falls back into itself and disappears. Because that is strengthening our understanding of the true record of creation. It is always interesting, not always, but mostly interesting, that if in a class or in a lecture one speaks about the truth and about the absolute truth, the class is always happy and flows with it and is awake. The moment one begins to show the workings of error, they begin to not to be quite with it, and somehow don't like it so much, and they never come up afterwards and say, this was a beautiful presentation that inspired me. They just usually go out of the door and disappear as quickly as possible and hope that the next day we'll give something positive, really not knowing that this is very, very positive. but the human mind doesn't like it. And that is really why Chondoli always said, do handle animal magnetism every day, handle it consistently, because the human mind does not want to be involved with investigating, analyzing, and uncovering error. It's only interested in annihilating error. But we cannot annihilate error before we have not analyzed it and uncovered it. So this is absolutely necessary. I remember when I went through class with John Dolan, you know, when he was still in good standing in the movement and everybody wanted to go through class with him, and he had a terrific waiting list. Really, his class instruction was quite powerful. Though at the moment I hardly know anything what he was saying, especially his jokes he never understood because they were always in English and I never could get them. But one thing did stick out of those 2 weeks. That the first week he was only talking from the point of view of God, the positive, through the synonyms and things like that. And the whole second week was devoted to handle animal magnetism, how to analyze error, how to uncover error, what error is, how error works. And my only impression was that the second week was much more powerful, that it made a terrific impact on me. And I think this should be so, because only as we also understand the workings of error, we really can appreciate the workings of truth. Well, I got off the line here because we haven't finished yet the seventh stage. So this was love as truth. What was it? And Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. So Cain, who stood for the first degree, really disappeared from love, went out of the presence of the Lord, and now love is love. And Cain dwelt in the land of Nod. So he had found another place. And the land of Nod, Nod means, in the original, means restlessness, wandering. Mrs. Eddy calls it dreamland. So Cain dwelt in the land of Nod. Mrs. Eddy interprets here and says, in divine science, material man is shut out from the presence of the Lord. What does it mean? She says, the five corporeal senses cannot take cognizance of spirit. They cannot come into his presence. They must dwell in dreamland, which is not. So divine science is engaged in a warfare of extermination. The great verities of existence are never excluded from falsity. She gives a final rounding up and says that the whole second record of creation went out of the presence of the Lord. It never existed. It always was a dream land. It was never reality, and therefore never could touch the real record of creation. The great verities of existence are never excluded by falsity. So as to say, the whole second record of creation can't do a thing to the true record of creation. So we do not need to be afraid that we are engaged in analyzing error, in uncovering error. We just have to watch that we don't make reality of it. That we always go out from the first record of creation and see there in the first record of creation lies the truth. And the second is just showing the very counterfeit of it as nothingness. It goes out into the land of Nod. You know, this ends really the second record of creation, but we know that the story goes on afterwards. That the story goes on that there was a third son born besides Cain and Abel. Abel was dead, And in place of Abel, then Eve conceived of Seth. And then in that, and Seth was the third degree. So after the first, second record of creation, we see now the salvation taking place, the line of salvation taking place, and the seventh, you know, in the line of Seth was Enoch, and of Enoch, the seventh, you see, now the salvation for mortal record of creation, he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So giving a sense, there is always a remedy and a salvation for every situation, that even if something starts out wrongly with the first degree and the second degree, there is always a salvation, namely the third degree, the line of death, that we can give birth to the third degree, to that order of wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness, to the new seven, and that understanding of that sevenfold order will bring us to God. He was taken away, for God took him and took him to himself. So this would be the last tone here. If we go quickly through the final tone of love in the epitome, we see here, finally, mortal manhood is shut out from the presence of God. Instead of having that the heaven and earth were fulfilled and all the hosts of them, we have now the complete disappearance of error. And that was shown in those two stages. First, that mortality reaches its climax by falling into complete oblivion, the counterfeit of love, by falling into oblivion. And lover's love then shows, as mortality has no place in God's ever-presence, it is not. And that's the end of it. It is not. So it seemed that it started out from the mist of ignorance and built up a terrific big thing, a giant of mortal manhood, a monster of mortal manhood. It blew up until it was pricked, and then nothing was left anymore. And that's how usually all our problems start. They start somehow from ignorance, and they grow and seem to grow bigger and bigger and bigger until a certain point, and then the balloon is pricked, and there is nothing anymore left. Yes, that's it.